Thank you, Linda, and thanks everyone for coming today. It's always a little hard making a session right after lunch, so I really appreciate it. I had to rush through my lunch too to make sure that I got here on time. What I'm going to present to you is priority areas for improvement of quality in public health as established by the Department of Health and Human Services. I did list out some objectives for you. I'm going to introduce the priorities to you. I'm going to show public health and healthcare coordination opportunities as a result of this project. And I'm also, very importantly, going to demonstrate the application of Institute for Healthcare Improvement concepts of drivers to achieve quality and outcomes as is included in the report through work that I did with Don Berwick. The purpose of HHS undertaking this project of identifying priorities for public health, we had several reasons why. First, to continue HHS efforts to develop foundations for quality in the public health system through the Public Health Quality Forum, and I'll talk a little bit more about the Quality Forum in a minute. But also, quality is prominently positioned in the Affordable Care Act. As a matter of fact, in the opening title, it's Quality Affordable Care for All Americans. Additionally, we undertook this because in 1998, actually, the President's Advisory Commission on Consumer Protection and Quality in the Healthcare Industry recommended to create synergy of improvement efforts throughout the healthcare system, not only in the healthcare delivery system, but also in public health, and that just was not happening to the degree that HHS was satisfied with at the moment. Also, health must be measured and quality improved in the context of both individual and population level interacting elements. So we felt it was absolutely necessary to work more in that area of public health. And as quoted by the Assistant Secretary for Health, Dr. Howard Koh, and Kathleen Sebelius, health of the nation is determined by health of individuals and conditions in communities where they live. So once again, this was a driving force of why we thought it was necessary to continue to look at quality in public health. It seems as though we have competing voices with the session next door. I talk pretty loud, so I hope that I can drown him out. And if not, just let me know, I'll talk louder. Let's talk a little bit more about the Public Health Quality Forum. The forum was actually established 2 years ago as a mechanism for an HHS-wide activity to provide leadership on public health quality. It is chaired by the Assistant Secretary for Health, who is now Howard Koh. Previously, it was chaired by the former Ash, Jaxel Garcia. Representing the Public Health Quality Forum are heads of all of the HHS agencies and operating and staff divisions. So it stretches across all of HHS. The Public Health Quality Forum is also informed by major public health and also health stakeholder groups as well, APHA, George's Benjamin, ASTO, NACHO. We had Academy Health participate this year. We had Trust for America's Health. We also had Linda DeGutis and Paul Cleary from Yale participate as consultants to the process, which really relieved my anxieties a lot, I can tell you, by having them engaged and involved in this. Prior accomplishments of the Public Health Quality Forum, and some of you in the room may be familiar with this, but I'm just going to go over it a little bit. In 2008, in late 2008, we produced a consensus statement on quality in the public health system, and that consensus statement included for the first time ever, a definition of public health quality. There was a lot of work in public health and under the umbrella of quality that was happening, but there really wasn't a definition of it. We also identified 9 aims representing characteristics of quality as well, and I'll just go through some of those right quickly with you. The definition for quality that we developed in 2008 is quality in public health is a degree to which policies, programs, services, and research for the population increase desired health outcomes and, even more importantly, conditions in which the population can be healthy. The people who participated in establishing this definition felt very, very strongly that sectors across the public health system needed to be accountable for quality, not just state and local public health. They felt very strongly that policymakers, researchers needed to be conscious of working towards quality in the context of that the quality was actually going to improve population health. We also established characteristics of quality. We defined them, well, we labeled them as aims to be consistent with what the IOM did in crossing the quality chasm, but really they represent characteristics of quality in public health. And the IOM also acknowledged their 6 aims of patient care. They actually acknowledged them as being characteristics of that as well. Where does this notion of characteristics come from? Well, it actually comes from the International Organization of Standards, their definition of quality, which is a set of features and characteristics of a product or service that bear on its ability to satisfy stated or implied needs. So we didn't just sit in a room and make up this concept. It was already there. And just to walk you through the application of this concept, I included some illustrations, which I think is always helpful. Characteristics of quality drinking water, color, taste, and smell. Quality characteristics of software. I'm not going to read through all of these, but you can see. And then most importantly, the 6 aims are characteristics of patient care: safe, timely, efficient, patient-centered, equitable, and effective. So, in setting forth the task at hand of establishing aims for public health, what we did, and you'll see on the left margin, we actually used the definition of public health, the vision, the 3 core functions, 10 essential services, nature, operational definition, as the foundation for how we were going to describe the characteristics or aims of public health. And what we finally concluded was the 9 aims were population-centered, equitable, proactive, health-promoting, risk-reducing, vigilant, transparent, effective, and efficient. So when fulfilling a public health mission, these activities should characterize what it is that you're doing. These are the characteristics that should be present. I'm not going to walk through this. I only include it as an illustration to show that we have done some very basic foundational work in testing some existing programs at the federal, state, and local level to see if, when possible, when we can identify when these characteristics don't exist and things that can happen so that they can. And this is just one illustration with the National Vaccine Safety Program that we did. What Kevin Barnett is going to present to you next on this panel directly relates to how to take these 9 aims and test or apply it to practices. So our next question in moving forward with developing foundations of quality in public health was, so we identified the 9 aims. The next step, well, gee, shouldn't we look at a set of priority areas where we could focus national attention to ensure that these characteristics do exist? And basically, this was a recommendation from the 1998 President's Council as well, of President's Commission, was to identify a set of priority areas. And the thought was, if you're focusing national attention on a set of priority areas, then it strengthens your ability to, in fact, improve quality across the entire system in these areas. So that was the immediate task at hand, was to identify these priority areas. So around March or April of 2010, Howard Coe, the Assistant Secretary for Health, gave a charge to the Public Health Quality Forum, and he said that he wanted us to identify areas of greatest priority where public health could improve quality, but also to facilitate achievement of better population health outcomes as well. So once again, always having that focus on improving population health. Dr. Coe established a vision for public health quality, and that vision is building better systems to give all people what they need to reach their full potential for health. And this really is his vision, because he asked us all to provide him some suggestions of what the vision should be. And Dr. Coe is a very deep thinker, and he came up with his truly own vision, and this represents that. So in setting forth the task of identifying what those priority areas should be, and what we used as the foundation for identifying those priorities was we borrowed the three core functions of public health from the previous diagram that you just saw that we used to identify the nine aims, and we said, well, let's make this the backbone of the foundation of what we do, of how we set the boundaries of how we're going to identify these priorities. So we use assessment, policy development, assurance, and system, which all represent the three core functions plus the system of public health. So using that framework, we also established three criteria, and the three criteria were impact, improvability, and practice variability as well, and using that to establish the priority areas that were to be identified. The priority areas, after much deliberation, we went through a series of meetings with a constant feedback loop on suggested areas. I think at one point we may have had as many as about 20, somewhere under 25 areas that were suggested. We did a lot of consolidating and collapsing topics through an iterative process. And in the end, we wound up with six areas. And those areas are population, this is a misprint, it should be population health metrics and IT is what that should be. Evidence-based practices, research and evaluation, systems thinking, stewardship, policy, workforce, and education. And I'll just briefly walk through each one of the areas with you. Population health metrics and information technology. The way we describe that is improved methods and analytical capacity to collect, evaluate, and disseminate data that can be translated into actionable, and that's very important, actionable information and outcomes in population health at the local, state, and national level, and make the improvement of data collection for population subgroups a core value of public health. We had a lot of discussion about the last sentence in that statement, and people felt very, very adamant that we needed to give more attention to vulnerable populations or population subgroups, so we decided to include it as a core value in that description. The next is evidence-based practices, research, and evaluation. And we describe that as bridge research and practice and institutionalize, meaning mainstream throughout the organization, evidence-based practices to achieve results-based accountability and support effective and safe practices that can be used by practitioners. And some of these have a little bit more narrative in the description. I didn't include all of that, obviously, on a PowerPoint, but I will give you a website where you can go and download the full report. And I have one or two copies with me, if anybody just needed to have one today as well. Systems thinking, we describe that as advanced systems thinking in public health, foster systems integration strategies by analyzing problems using system science methodologies such as network analysis, while taking into account the complex adaptive nature of the public health system. The next one, stewardship and sustainability, strengthen both of those through valid measures and reporting and performance of performance and quality. Ensure efficient funding methodologies that align resources with goals, demonstrated needs, responsibilities, measurable results, and ethical practices. There was a lot of discussion on this topic, especially as it relates to flexible funding streams. We have quite a bit of narrative in a full document on each one of these topics. So while we do not go into detail in these brief descriptions of each category, when you read through the document, you'll get the full flavor of that as you read through that. Policy, described as strengthen policy development and analysis processes and advocacy to ensure that evidence is integrated into policymaking to improve population health. And the last, workforce and education, develop and sustain a competent workforce by ensuring that educational and skills content are appropriately aligned with core and discipline-specific competencies, and also to ensure that the public health education is accessible at all academic levels, meaning not just at the graduate level, but the baccalaureate level, the community college level, even down to the high school level, and that lifelong learning is encouraged and valued within the system as well. In fulfilling the charge that the ASH gave to the Public Health Quality Forum, I'll just remind you that it was to identify areas of greatest priority, but also to help facilitate achievement of better population health outcomes. And that's what led my connection with Don Berwick on processes and concepts in order to build that into this project. And using IHI's concept of primary and secondary drivers to achieve strategic improvements is actually what we apply to this process in order to fully fulfill Howard's charge to the community. And what you see is just the basic logic model that IHI uses to demonstrate this concept. And I actually, when I first saw this, when Don Berwick first showed it to me, I said, oh, which is a reverse logic model. What we normally see is outcomes over on the right side and then everything else over on the left. But when you think about it, you know, a lot of times when you're doing a logic model, you normally start over here on the right and say, okay, this is what I want to accomplish. So let me backtrack and put in all of the inputs and everything else that I need for that to be accomplished. So what I'm going to do now is just basically walk you through how we provide some illustrations of that in the document. The first thing we start with from a systems level, because the priority areas that we did identify are basically system level interacting elements. They're not necessarily, you know, disease focus or condition focus, their system level. So we started with just the concept of a system level goal of national goals for population health improvement with the priority areas. So the next thing would be is, well, what would be some secondary drivers, is what he calls them. So, you know, as regards to the priority areas, As I said, we do look at them as being interacting system-level areas with a definite relationship between the six areas, which underscores the value of coordinating elements in a complex adaptive system of which public health is. So based on that, you know, we tried to identify the secondary drivers, which were, if you see on the right side, the portfolio of initiatives and activities to support and strengthen the priority set of primary drivers. So if we're looking at the should-be population health metrics and IT, what would be some secondary drivers to support strengthening of that in order so that you could accomplish national goals? What would be some supports as secondary drivers to strengthen evidence-based practices, research, and evaluation? What would be some supports for systems thinking, stewardship, policy, and so on and so forth? So that was the task at hand. Oops, I went, okay. Here we are with the matrix to show some very specific secondary drivers that we identified. So for population health metrics and information technology, we identified, and they're all not listed here because of space. I mean, we couldn't list everything that we listed in the document or pull from the document, but some examples of some system-level enhancements to the primary drivers. For instance, for population health metrics, a secondary driver would be the establishment of some actionable real-time data sets to enhance vigilance and proactive practices that reduce risk, such as the ability, if you have this capacity for real-time actionable data, then that should allow you to be able to do things like health alerts and everything on a much quicker basis, which would support strengthening the primary driver of population health metrics and information technology, which should get you and should enhance accomplishment of population health improvements. Some of the others that we offered were merge public health, electronic health records, and other provider and community data, and that could be extended well beyond just the five that we're offering here as suggestions. Other suggestions are to align public health and hospital community health assessments and analysis. And this is one of the areas that's even in the Affordable Care Act mandating that community benefit or tax-exempt hospitals, that their exemption actually be tied to mandates for them to actually do this with public health. Other suggestions, electronic reporting and conformity to data standards of it as a means of monitoring for inequities, interact on state of science analytical capacity, such as data warehousing, data mining, visualization software. So the concept here is that when you implement these secondary drivers within organizations, institutions, then that helps to strengthen the primary drivers, which in turn facilitates the increased opportunity to achieve better population health improvements. I'm just looking at my time. I think I have 10 more minutes, so I may not read through each one of these. But here we have the same thing, the secondary drivers for evidence-based practices and research, some very, you know, common sense type things, translate evidence into community population-based programs, build transparency, regularly document and monitor results of system changes. The next, systems thinking. Some suggestions that we offer as secondary drivers: integrate interventions of healthcare, public health, and others to promote health and reduce risk through things such as activities to reduce avoidable hospitalizations. you know, in the public health system, if we collect a tremendous amount of data, and we do have data for the most part on avoidable hospitalizations, well, you know, how about integrating the interventions with healthcare and public health to reduce hospital utilization because of avoidable hospitalizations or other things like healthcare acquired infections or things that Linda is intimately involved with, such as injury prevention and safety and those kind of things. Also, we suggest proactive practices to reduce risk of negative impacts, such as what gets a lot of attention recently is health impact assessments of policy. So people in health would do health impact assessments of transportation policies or education policies or economic development policies. I was involved with a research project a couple of years ago where we looked at economic development policies of bringing casino gambling into, well, they say gaming. What is gambling? Casino gaming into communities as a means of stimulating economies in those regions. And what we found was that, you know, per capita income really was not improving. Health status really was not improving. There was $46 million more coming into that county because of that policy, but it wasn't trickling down to the people who actually lived there. They were hiring, you know, Memphis was like 30 miles up the road, so they weren't hiring people in a local community. They were hiring people from Memphis for the good jobs. So, you know, no one obviously went back to do an assessment of that. Also, things like integrate surveillance activities to enhance capacities for alerts and other risk-reducing interventions. Six more minutes. Stewardship and sustainability, develop standards of practice with systems for monitoring and reporting in public health. This was a big one of Don Berwick to mobilize advocacy within communities. Sustain programs through mandates such as reporting or inspections. Once you have those mandates, then it's more likely that programs will be sustained because they're actually mandates through law. Here we go, redesign funding and payment structures such as more flexibility in funding streams and need-based funding. And one that I talk about a lot, and that is dedicated tax structures for public health, which we seem to be lacking when compared to other community-based services. Routine quantitative analysis to promote and improve transparency and proactive monitoring. Well, I talked about this, proactive monitoring of economic development impacts. Policy, in addition to an assessment of all policy, but health in all policies as a routine practice to proactively assess for health impacts. The one that I like to talk about a lot goes back probably about 60 years and with zoning, when the prevalence of fast food restaurants were, you know, springing up. And the fast food industry, they learned quickly, you know, who to market their products to. They weren't building fast foods in very rich communities. They knew exactly where to put the fast food restaurants and what markets to target. Develop policies that mandate reporting of specific conditions and events, and I think we all know what some of those are. And advocate for policies that target health improvements. Workforce and education, build workforce and analytical capacities, such as capacity for data collection and analysis. Expand educational and outreach programs at community college and high school. Create professional learning cultures as well within public health. Just briefly, some coordination opportunities that we talk about in the document. In the 1998 report that I mentioned, it actually did list or make some recommendations to make quality a driving force and to focus on, and this was as it relates to healthcare, because the report really wasn't targeting public health per se, it was more targeting healthcare, but what they suggested was pretty consistent to what we came up with as well. Evidence-based practices, organizations adaptable to change, in line with that host systems thinking concept, collaboration between healthcare workers and information systems. So here we are, you know, in 2010 with public health basically, you know, rallying around a similar set of priorities. There's also provisions in the Affordable Care Act, many. I mean, I didn't list everything here, obviously, because of time that we have noted in the report, but I mentioned this before, community health needs assessments and reporting by tax-exempt hospitals with public health input, and also a tremendous amount of opportunities for coordination as it relates to data integration, data analysis, and actions as well. Many, many more illustrations we have in the secondary drivers as well. How to move forward? Well, we think that there could be a focus, national attention on the priority areas within organizations to achieve substantial improvements across the system. And as a starting point for agencies to assess quality, identify weaknesses, and redesign processes in the list of priority areas. Build and strengthen secondary drivers when using this model. And also use it to achieve healthy people, the Healthy People 2020 objective, which is something like to increase the number of public health agencies that do undertake quality improvement initiatives. So this provides a framework and a starting point where agencies could begin to do this, and HHS is proud to provide the leadership for that to happen. Here are websites where you can find the latest priority areas document and also the consensus statement. And I also have my email address if you would like to email me and have a little chat about all of it. Thank you, Linda. Thank you.